from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Eric Flack from Channel 9 has broken a lot of news over the last couple of years. He is their chief investigative reporter. He does a great job. Follow him on X, on Twitter, at Eric with a C, Flack TV. He joins us right now because he broke a story the other day about DC hiring a very high-priced consultant to help them in their efforts to bring the Washington football franchise back to the RFK site. So without trying to get into the description of what they did, who they retained, and why, I'll let you describe it.
Well, they hired an LA-based venue and management company that really specializes in this sort of thing. They paid the company $500,000, a little bit more actually, to specifically study how they would build a stadium for the Commanders at RFK, meaning DC government, and how DC government would pay for or help pay for such a stadium, which obviously, as we've talked about before, is really a huge piece of this. Now, it's the second major study the city has paid for related to getting the Commanders back to the RFK site.
Yeah, you told me about the other one. They spent like $400,000 on something that they wouldn't even release the details on.
$400,000, and I asked somebody within government, I said, well, what's the difference? And they said, well, that one was more about the economic impact of sports, professional sports on the District of Columbia. And as we talked about, it was a very rosy report, you know, headline, you know, spoiler, you know, pro sports make a lot of money for DC. There was a piece of that study that related to, okay, well, how would you pay for a football stadium? What would it look like? And then the city wouldn't release that. They said that was like industry secrets.
But potentially for competitive reasons, which you and I both kind of understood, right?
I understood. I think the only difference we had on that one, Kevin, is like they can – I understand why, but like the law, I think their justification under the law for not complying with, you know, a public request to release it, I think is a little bit suspect. But yes, I mean, I understand they had a point. There was a reason that they withheld it.
But let me be clear on this. They've spent $400,000 on a study that kind of gave them, you know, a rosy picture on what a football team in D.C. would mean economically to the city, and by the way, how they would potentially go about funding that. taxpayer dollars used for that $400,000 study, you know, several months ago, and they didn't disclose the results of it because they didn't, you know, they didn't want to lose any sort of advantage to, you know, debt creation or whatever, or, you know, whatever the plan would be. And now they've spent $565,000 for something they're saying is much different.
Well, it's different, but it's pretty similar. I think the biggest difference is that the company that they're paying now, like, really specializes in this. Meaning, the other two, Jack Evans was a part of the last study. They were just kind of general consulting firms that work on, like, pro sports across different pro sports from more of a, like, a 10,000-foot perspective. This company really, really hones in on, and have been used by other municipalities on getting NFL stadiums built and paid for. And I think, you know, their website and the documents the city signed to justify going straight to them, it was a no-bid contract. They didn't put it out for bid. They went straight to this company, was the fact that they have experience. They've done this with, you know, I think seven other NFL teams. And the person within D.C. government told me, this is significant because it is the city upping its efforts to figure out exactly what the playbook would be the second Congress gives them the land, which the contract made seem like a foregone conclusion, as you and I have spoken. It's not, but this is to give them the playbook ready to go with, okay, here's how
is it cart before horse?
Yeah, of course. Of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, there's language in there that said, you know, we need to we chose this company because they can do it right away. And Congress is going to approve this, us getting the land back very, very soon. I forget the exact wording, but they made it seem like, you know, this is going to happen really soon. So we have to be ready to go. It's cart before the horse. If, in one sense, because they don't have the land, I guess if you were going to say the other side was you want to be prepared the second you get the land to go to the commanders and say, here's the playbook. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to pay for it. Maybe here's how much we can pay. Here's how much we're willing to pay. You know, that sort of thing.
So a couple of things as you're describing it. First of all, we don't know right now for sure, although it certainly seems... Well, let me ask you this. Have they already committed to paying $565,000 for this help, or is it contingent on the Senate bill, the RFK site bill passing in the Senate?
No, the money's out the door to pay this.
Okay. So,
they paid part of it, and I think it's kind of like any agreement.
Yeah,
you know, you
worked on some of it up front.
Pay a little bit once you get the thing. Yeah.
So where are we on the RFK site bill in the Senate?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of where we were, you know, the Wetzel family and Senator Daines from Montana still are kind of have their joint block. But, you know, the team has been repairing the relationship with the Blackie Wetzel family. They're going to honor the team. The team is going to honor the family week two in the home opener. And they're going to honor Blackie Wetzel's contribution to the old logo. And they're hoping that repairs the relationship. And the grandson told me that you know, I'm not there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. And I want the stadium at RFK too. So stay tuned, Commanders fans. Daines is supposed to, if you hold him to his word, as soon as the Wetzel family gives the A-OK, we're okay, then he's supposed to release his hold. But then the bill has to get out of the subcommittee that Daines is holding it up in, which has people like Bernie Sanders on it, who, as you know, may have heard at the convention, you know, we don't like billionaires. He,
right.
You know, could he get involved in doing something that could help a billionaire? And even if it gets out of that subcommittee, it then has to get a hearing from Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, on the Senate floor and get passed by the end of the year. So all these things have to happen for D.C. even to get the land. And even the people who are close to it on this deal, I think on both sides, I think on the team side and D.C. government side, I think when you ask them honestly, like, nobody is really seeing this as a foregone conclusion that this is going to make it through Congress this year.
So, okay. So, did you even mention Van Hollen and his resistance?
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I didn't. And then you have the Maryland senators and Cardin who oppose it because they want assurances about what's going to happen to FedEx if the commanders leave.
I'm not one of those people that likes a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of hemming and hawing. I like decisiveness when it comes to these things. But a couple of things. First of all, to just spend $565,000 worth of taxpayer money with a lot of that at risk that you'll never be able to implement whatever plan they're putting together for you because it doesn't pass in the Senate seems crazy to me. And I would also add to this, don't they have to bid it out?
They justified not bidding it out by doing what's called a sole procurement contract. Basically, in layman's terms, it would be like a no-bid contract. They justified it in the paperwork by the time crunch that they say they are under because they characterized getting the land back from Congress as a foregone conclusion. And they said only this firm in LA was ready to go, could do it ASAP, and has the unique expertise that no other consulting firm has that would that could get the job done well. As a result, we're going to take the step of doing this no bid contract and bypassing that process.
Well, I don't believe they're the only ones that could do it. In those situations, I would believe that this is who they absolutely wanted because they're the most qualified to help them. And they just, added in there that they were the ones that were ready to move forward. But that does bring up another question. And that is, it's actually a two-parter. Number one, why haven't they figured all of these answers out already? This has been a multi-year conversation. I would have assumed at this point that the city would have already had conversations with new ownership about the potential parameters of a deal or what might go into a deal. That's part one. Part two is, do they really need an outside consultant for this?
I think the answer to part one is, I think the finances, and it's been my contention all along, and this is me reading the tea leaves and putting all my reporting together rather than anybody confirming it. I think the money is sticky. I mean, I've done stories and I think we've talked about where the city is financially after giving the $500 million to Leonsis to fix up Capital One, and the economics of the study. They're on track to be like $1.7 billion in debt by 2030, and there's a limit to how much debt they can have. So I think that it's not as simple as taking out another loan, and they need to expertise to figure it out. Now, whatever was said in that last study, the best I can tell is that they laid out a whole bunch of different options from, hey, the city pays for it all, to, hey, the team pays for it all, to, here's some different options. I think the city has gone to take in this step to figure out, okay, here's what we're going to do. We don't need a lot of different options, which kind of makes you wonder why they did the first study in the first place. I mean, it does seem like there's a bit of redundancy here with taxpayer money. But
that first study was to help convince, perhaps other politicians locally and eventually constituents that this would be great for the city.
Well, and keep in mind, they actually bid out the study in the middle of Leonsis, the first study, a lot of studies. They bid out the first one and started it in the midst of Monumental leaving for Northern Virginia, Northern Virginia. So then by the time it was released, everything had fallen apart in Northern Virginia and Leonsis was staying and they had paid the $500 million. So their timing got all kind of confused on all of this. This one is strictly commanders. Strictly, how do you get them at RFK? Because I think the commanders know what they want in the stadium. Like, where I think they're just trying to figure out where they're going to put it at this point. Like, they know what it's going to look like. They know how, like, I think they're far enough down the road that, you know, they're planned somewhere. But I don't think they need DC to tell them how it's going to fit on the RFK site. I just don't believe that.
We're talking to Eric Flack from WUSA TV9. He reported the other day that the city spent $565,000 on a consultant contract, a world-leading venue management company, to kind of help them figure out how to do the stadium, how to negotiate the deal with the team when and if that opportunity presents itself. Because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong and tell me if I'm missing any steps here. If you think about what has to happen chronologically, just to simplify this for everybody that's listening, to get a stadium to the RFK site back in the city, the first thing that needs to happen is that the Senate needs to pass the RFK site plan so that the city actually can do with that land what it wants to do. Second step would then be to negotiate a deal with the team. Thirdly, you've got to get the DC Council to approve, and really the constituents of that area in particular to say okay to this, right? I mean, am I missing anything?
You're not, but it is my belief at this point in the process and the positive vibes around the team now that I don't think that DC Council piece, that final step, is going to be as problematic as it was under Snyder when seven members of the DC Council signed that letter saying we're not using the RFK site for a stadium. A lot of the people who opposed it, who signed that letter all those years ago, aren't even on the council anymore. Right. We don't really know how the people who replaced them feel about this, but I just have a tough time believing that, you know, the Congress gives the land back to DC, do a whole bunch of stories about that, everybody's celebrating about that, then Mayor Bowser gets an agreement in place with the team, and now we're celebrating that, and then DC Council is going to come in and stop it when it does have support. You know, Charles Allen is going to come in and stop it at that point. I have a tough time believing it. I think the biggest hurdle at this point, in my opinion, just from what I know, talking about this and reporting on this for years now, is Congress and whether or not that bill gets passed. And then if that bill doesn't get passed, Harris and his ownership group have a really tough decision, which is, do we wait another year and try again in a non-election year to get this bill through Congress with a new guy running the show, Kurt Mehta, who's running this deal for the team now, with all his Capitol Hill ties? Or do we just say, you know what, it just wasn't meant to be, we move forward with Maryland or Virginia?
Yeah, there's just something, like, when I see these deals, and part of it is just that before broadcasting, I was involved in, you know, non-sports broadcasting businesses, all sort of tech startup businesses. And I guarantee you that Ted with Wizards Caps Monumental and Josh Harris with the football team, they'd be able to figure out the parameters of the deal without spending $500,000 on a consultant. Because, government types tend to spend that kind of money, and I wonder whether or not they got a good deal and whether or not they negotiated a good deal with ASM Global that'll probably create what they would have come up with on their own if they had a few smart people in there trying to figure this thing out. But what do I know? I don't know much. I am curious, though, as to whether or not you have a feel for whether, you know, how this thing would be structured if we get to the point where RFK site plan passes in Senate and the city and Josh Harris are negotiating a deal, who ends up paying for what? What's your hunch right now? What will ASM Global advise on this front?
I mean, looking at other stadiums that have been built, that are being built, I mean, you've got Buffalo, you've got Nashville, they're doing a huge renovation in Jacksonville, Chicago is working on a deal. To me, the cost of doing business is going to be $1 billion, I think, for the city. I think that is your entry. If you give $500 million plus to Leontes for renovations, you can't give less than $1 billion for a brand new state-of-the-art domed football stadium. I just don't see it. Josh Harris is trying to build a new arena for the Sixers in Philly that is completely privately funded. No taxpayer outlay at all. That's $1.2 billion, though. And we've asked him about, like, you know, what is he's going to need for a football stadium at RFK or really anywhere. And he said, you know, we're fortunate. We're going to do the best we can. But football stadiums are more expensive than basketball stadiums. And they are. So the last study assumed, the 400,000 study assumed $2.5 billion for the cost of building a new football stadium. I think that is low based on inflation.
I know, right. I've heard $3 to $4 billion.
Correct. I think that is much more reasonable a number. So if you're in the neighborhood of $3 to $4 billion, and I think that's another thing that this group is going to do, is be a lot more realistic about, like, what this is going to cost, like, total, you know. I think it's hard to believe that the city is not asked to kick in $1 billion or more. It's hard for me to believe. I think that's going to be, especially when you have Maryland and we don't know what Virginia would do, because we don't know what the state legislature in Virginia would do. We know that Maryland would kick in $1 billion. Like, we just know that. Like, they have a stadium fund. They have all the
Well, not to mention the overall cost would be a lot less because they're building it on land that they already own.
Well, yeah. I mean, the cost would be the same. They wouldn't have to be charged for the land.
The cost of the stadium, the specific stadium, yes.
Right,
but everything
right.
around it, right? It's. I mean, they're trying to create a destination. At RFK, with all the retail.
I think they. But they only have so much land there. I mean, they can't do. Yeah. You remember what Snyder wanted to do out there in Woodbridge and Dumfries? I mean, there's not room for that. Even if they wanted to, there's not room for that at RFK anyway.
I mean, look, bottom line is, if you're right, taxpayers basically are going to have to, you know, come up with a big part of $1 billion price tag for the city to bring the football team back, if that's what it would take to get it done. And you're the one that reported that they're $1.7 billion in debt by 2030.
Right. And so I think, you know what, and so it goes back to your question, can't they figure it out on their own? I'm not sure they can, Kevin. I'm not sure they can figure this out on their own. I think maybe if they could, they would have already. I mean, is it going to be like a taxing district? They're going to need a new revenue source. They're going to need to figure out a new revenue source to keep the books balanced enough to where they can say, okay, we're not going to go, you know, more than, you know, X amount of debt, which we are required by law to do. You know, city council would have to vote to change the amount of debt we can take on. But even that, the chief financial officer's office told me is not going to happen because it would kill DC's credit rating. So they can't even do that. So they would have to, they're going to have to be very creative about how they're going to finance this. And they won't say how. They won't say how. And I think they want to figure out what the answer is going to be, so they're ready to go if they get the land.
Look, there are times where, you know, you have to bring in true expertise and pay for it to get the right answer, and it ends up saving you in the long run. So I'm sure that's where the city is. Look, the bottom line is, right, correct me if I'm wrong, the path of least resistance is Landover. But it's not what anybody wants. So they're going to have to work really hard. And by the way, the timetable, which, remember you and I talked about this maybe a year ago, that there was hope that season opener 2024, the week of, they could announce a deal where the new stadium would open in 2029 or whatever it was. That is really, that time frame has been pushed way back, right?
Yeah, I think we're looking at 2030. That's if they come to a decision in the next year, which, again, keep in mind, if they don't get the RFK land back this year, after all, and I think we said that back, you know, when we talked about that, because I think it was earlier this year that we had that conversation. And the reason was because it sailed through the House. When that bill sailed through the House, we all thought, oh my gosh, this is finally going to happen. They're finally going to have at least the option to build a stadium or at least to do something with that land. And then the Senate has just mucked it all up. And now we're back into a holding pattern. It's no longer a foregone conclusion. And are they, if they don't get it through this year, are they going to wait another year to try and try again? At what point do you just say this isn't going to happen?
I know. It's true. I mean, who the hell knows if by the time we get to the stadium opener, if Josh Harris will still even own the team. I'm kidding. Of course, we all hope he will. But last question is, when is the next opportunity for the Senate to vote on this?
Oh, I think everybody on Capitol Hill who's involved with this, I mean, they could vote on it now, but nothing's happening because of the election. Everything has stopped.
Right.
So it's after the election. So it's going to be, I've been told, like early December if it happens. It won't happen until early December if it's going to happen at all. Nothing is going to happen until after the election. And then everybody's going to flood back and try and get a whole bunch of stuff done before they all go on recess at the end of the year and the session ends. So that's why the election is kind of mucking this up, because nobody's doing any work on Capitol Hill right now. It's all about the election.
You know what, Eric? When we have these conversations and the way the time frame, it's, part of me just says, you know what? Let's break ground in Landover and get this thing started. Seriously. Because that is the easiest path to a new stadium, a stadium that they would want with a partner that's willing to work with them and pay for it. And ultimately, they just got to win down the road. But I don't know. I want D.C. I do want the RFK site.
You're the best. We all want D.C. Yeah, you got it, man.
Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well.
Anytime, man. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Yep. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9. Let's shift back to football on the field. The Brandon Ayuk conversation is heating up. There's been a few reports out there. We'll share those with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Eric Flack from Channel 9 has broken a lot of news over the last couple of years. He is their chief investigative reporter. He does a great job. Follow him on X, on Twitter, at Eric with a C, Flack TV. He joins us right now because he broke a story the other day about D.C. hiring a very high-priced consultant to help them in their efforts to bring the Washington football franchise back to the RFK site. So without trying to get into the description of what they did, who they retained, and why, I'll let you describe it.
Well, they hired an LA-based venue and management company that really specializes in this sort of thing. They paid the company $500,000 a little bit more actually, to specifically study how they would build a stadium for the Commanders at RFK, meaning D.C. government, and how D.C. government would pay for or help pay for such a stadium, which obviously, as we've talked about before, is really a huge piece of this. Now, it's the second major study the city has paid for related to getting the Commanders back to the RFK site.
Yeah, you told me about the other one. They spent like $400,000 on something that they wouldn't even release the details on.
$400,000, and I asked somebody within government, I said, well, what's the difference? And they said, well, that one was more about the economic impact of sports, professional sports on the District of Columbia. And as we talked about, it was a very rosy, rosy report, you know, headline, you know, spoiler, you know, pro sports make a lot of money for DC. There was a piece of that study that related to, okay, well, how would you pay for a football stadium? What would it look like? And then the city wouldn't release that. They said that was like industry secrets.
But potentially for competitive reasons, which you and I both kind of understood, right?
I understood. I think the only difference we had on that one, Kevin, is like they can – I understand why, but like the law, I think – their justification under the law for not complying with, you know, a public request to release it, I think is a little bit suspect. But yes, I mean, I understand they had a point. There was a reason that they withheld it.
But let me just be clear on this. They've spent $400,000 on a study that kind of gave them a rosy picture on what a football team in D.C. would mean economically to the city, and by the way, how they would potentially go about funding that. Taxpayer dollars used for that $400,000 study, you know, several months ago, and they didn't disclose the results of it because they didn't want to lose any sort of advantage to, you know, debt creation or whatever, or, you know, whatever the plan would be. And now they've spent $565,000 for something they're saying is much different.
Well, it's different, but it's pretty similar. I think the biggest difference is that the company that they're paying now, like, really specializes in this. Meaning, the other two, Jack Evans was a part of the last study. They were just kind of general consulting firms that work on, like, pro sports across different pro sports from more of a, like, a 10,000-foot perspective. This company really, really hones in on, and have been used by other municipalities on getting NFL stadiums built and paid for. And I think, you know, their website and the documents the city signed to justify going straight to them, it was a no-bid contract. They didn't put it out for bid. They went straight to this company, was the fact that they have experience. They've done this with, you know, I think seven other NFL teams. And the person within D.C. government told me this is significant because it is the city upping its efforts to figure out exactly what the playbook would be the second Congress gives them the land, which the contract made seem like a foregone conclusion, as you and I have spoken. It's not, but this is to give them the playbook ready to go with, okay, here's how
is it cart before horse?
Yeah, of course. Of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, there's language in there that said, you know, we need to we chose this company because they can do it right away. And Congress is going to approve this, us getting the land back very, very soon. I forget the exact wording, but they made it seem like, you know, this is going to happen really soon. So we have to be ready to go. It's cart before the horse. In one sense, because they don't have the land, I guess if you were going to say the other side was you want to be prepared the second you get the land to go to the Commanders and say, here's the playbook. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to pay for it. Maybe here's how much we can pay. Here's how much we're willing to pay. You know, that sort of thing.
So a couple of things as you're describing it. First of all, we don't know right now for sure, although it certainly seems... Well, let me ask you this. Have they already committed to paying $565,000 for this help, or is it contingent on the Senate bill, the RFK site bill passing in the Senate?
No, the money's out the door. Paid them.
Okay. So
they, I mean, as they paid part of it, and I think it's kind of like any agreement.
Yeah,
you know, you
right.
worked on
and some
draft,
of it up front.
You pay a little bit once you get the thing. Yeah.
So where are we on the RFK site bill in the Senate?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of where we were. The Wetzel family and Senator Daines from Montana still are kind of have their joint block, but you know, the team has been repairing the relationship with the Blackie Wetzel family. They're going to honor the team. The team is going to honor the family week two in the home opener, and they're going to honor Blackie Wetzel's contribution to the old logo. And they're hoping that repairs the relationship. And the grandson told me that you know, I'm not there yet, but we're moving in the right direction. And I want the stadium at RFK too. So stay tuned, Commanders fans. Daines is supposed to, if you hold him to his word, as soon as the Wetzel family gives the A-OK, we're okay, then he's supposed to release his hold. But then the bill has to get out of the subcommittee that Daines is holding it up in, which has people like Bernie Sanders on it, who, as you know, may have heard at the convention, you know, we don't like billionaires. He,
right.
You know, could he get involved in doing something that could help a billionaire? And even if it gets out of that subcommittee, it then has to get a hearing from Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, on the Senate floor and get passed by the end of the year. So all these things have to happen for D.C. even to get to land. And even the people who are close to it on this deal, I think on both sides, I think on the team side and D.C. government side, I think when you ask them honestly, like, nobody is really seeing this as a foregone conclusion that this is going to make it through Congress this year.
So, okay. So, did you even mention Van Hollen and his resistance?
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I didn't. And then you have the Maryland senators that and Cardin who oppose it because they want assurances about what's going to happen to FedEx if the Commanders leave.
I'm not one of those people that likes a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of hemming and hawing. I like decisiveness when it comes to these things. But a couple of things. First of all, to just spend $565,000 worth of taxpayer money with a lot of that at risk that you'll never be able to implement whatever plan they're putting together for you because it doesn't pass in the Senate seems crazy to me. And I would also add to this, don't they have to bid it out?
They justified not bidding it out by doing what's called a sole procurement contract. Basically, in layman's terms, it would be like a no-bid contract. They justified it in the paperwork by the time crunch that they say they are under because they characterized getting the land back from Congress as a foregone conclusion. And they said only this firm in LA was ready to go, could do it ASAP, and has the unique expertise that no other consulting firm has that would that could get the job done well. As a result, we're going to take the step of doing this no bid contract and bypassing that process.
Well, I don't believe they're the only ones that could do it. In those situations, I would believe that this is who they absolutely wanted because they're the most qualified to help them. And they just, added in there that they were the ones that were ready to move forward. But that does bring up another question. And that is, it's actually a two-parter. Number one, why haven't they figured all of these answers out already? This has been a multi-year conversation. I would have assumed at this point that the city would have already had conversations with new ownership about the potential parameters of a deal or what might go into a deal. That's part one. Part two is, do they really need an outside consultant for this?
I think the answer to part one is, I think the finances, and it's been my contention all along, and this is me reading the tea leaves and putting all my reporting together rather than anybody confirming it. I think the money is sticky. I mean, I've done stories and you know, I think we've talked about where the city is financially after giving the $500 million to Leonsis to fix up Capital One, and the economics of the study. They're on track to be like $1.7 billion in debt by 2030, and there's a limit to how much debt they can have. So I think that it's not as simple as taking out another loan, and they need to expertise to figure it out. Now, whatever was said in that last study, you know, the best I can tell is that they laid out a whole bunch of different options, from, hey, the city pays for it all, to, hey, the team pays for it all, to, here's some different options. I think the city has gone to take this step to figure out, okay, here's what we're going to do. We don't need a lot of different options, which kind of makes you wonder why they did the first study in the first place. I mean, it does seem like there's a bit of redundancy here with taxpayer money. But
I think that first study was to help convince, you know, perhaps other politicians locally and eventually constituents that this would be great for the city.
Well, and keep in mind, they actually bid out the study in the middle of Leonsis, the first study, a lot of studies. They bid out the first one and started it in the midst of Monumental leaving for Northern Virginia, or considering Northern Virginia. So and then by the time it was released, you know, everything had fallen apart in Northern Virginia, and Leonsis was staying, and they paid the $500 million. So their timing got all kind of confused on all of this. This one is strictly Commanders. Strictly, how do you get them at RFK? Because I think the Commanders know what they want in the stadium. Like, where I think they're just trying to figure out where they're going to put it at this point. Like, they know what it's going to look like. They know how, like, I think they're far enough down the road that, you know, they're planned somewhere. But I don't think they need D.C. to tell them how it's going to fit on the RFK site. I just don't believe that.
We're talking to Eric Flack from WUSA TV9. He reported the other day that the city spent $565,000 on a consultant contract, a world-leading venue management company, to kind of help them figure out how to do the stadium, how to negotiate the deal with the team when and if that opportunity presents itself. Because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong and tell me if I'm missing any steps here. If you think about what has to happen chronologically, just to simplify this for everybody that's listening, to get a stadium to the RFK site back in the city, the first thing that needs to happen is that the Senate needs to pass the RFK site plan so that the city actually can do with that land what it wants to do. Second step would then be to negotiate a deal with the team. Thirdly, you've got to get the D.C. Council to approve, and really the constituents of that area in particular to say okay to this, right? I mean, am I missing anything?
You're not, but it is my belief at this point in the process, and the positive vibes around the team now, that I don't think that DC Council piece, that final step, is going to be as problematic as it was under Snyder when seven members of the DC Council signed that letter saying we're not using the RFK site for a stadium. A lot of the people who opposed it, who signed that letter all those years ago, aren't even on the council anymore. Right. We don't really know how the people who replaced them feel about this, but I just have a tough time believing that, you know, the Congress gives the land back to D.C., do a whole bunch of stories about that, everybody's celebrating about that, then Mayor Bowser gets a agreement in place with the team, and now we're celebrating that, and then D.C. Council is going to come in and stop it when it does have support. You know, Charles Allen is going to come in and stop it at that point. I have a tough time believing it. I think the biggest hurdle at this point, in my opinion, just from what I know, talking about this and reporting on this for years now, is Congress and whether or not that bill gets passed. And then if that bill doesn't get passed, Harris and his ownership group have a really tough decision, which is, do we wait another year and try again in a non-election year to get this bill through Congress with a new, you know, new guy running the show, Kurt Mehta, who's running this deal for the team now, you know, with all his Capitol Hill ties? Or do we just say, you know what, it just wasn't meant to be, we move forward with Maryland or Virginia?
Yeah, there's just something, like, when I see these deals, and part of it is just that before broadcasting, I was involved in, you know, non-sports broadcasting businesses, all sort of tech startup businesses. And I guarantee you that Ted with Wizards Caps Monumental and Josh Harris with the football team, they'd be able to figure out the parameters of the deal without spending $500,000 on a consultant. Because, you know, government types tend to spend that kind of money, and I wonder whether or not they got a good deal and whether or not they negotiated a good deal with ASM Global that'll probably create what they would have come up with on their own if they had a few smart people in there trying to figure this thing out. But what do I know? I don't know much. I am curious, though, as to whether or not you have a feel for whether, you know, how this thing would be structured if we get to the point where RFK site plan passes in Senate and the city and Josh Harris are negotiating a deal. Who ends up paying for what? What's your hunch right now? What will ASM Global advise on this front?
I mean, looking at other stadiums that have been built, that are being built, I mean, you've got Buffalo, you've got Nashville, they're doing a huge renovation in Jacksonville, Chicago is working on a deal. To me, the cost of doing business is going to be $1 billion, I think, for the city. I think that is your entry. If you give $500 million plus to Leontes for renovations, you can't give less than $1 billion for a brand new state-of-the-art domed football stadium. I just don't see it. Josh Harris is trying to build a new arena for the Sixers in Philly that is completely privately funded. No taxpayer outlay at all. That's $1.2 billion, though. And we've asked him about, like, you know, what is he's going to need for a football stadium at RFK or really anywhere. And he said, you know, we're fortunate. We're going to do the best we can. But football stadiums are more expensive than basketball stadiums, and they are. So the last study assumed, the 400,000 study, assumed $2.5 billion for the cost of building a new football stadium. I think that is low based on inflation.
I know, right. I've heard $3 to $4 billion.
Correct. I think that is much more reasonable a number. So if you're in the neighborhood of $3 to $4 billion, and I think that's another thing that this group is going to do, is be a lot more realistic about, like, what this is going to cost, like, total, you know. I think it's hard to believe that the city is not asked to kick in $1 billion or more. It's hard for me to believe. I think that's going to be, especially when you have Maryland and we don't know what Virginia would do because we don't know what the state legislature in Virginia would do. We know that Maryland would kick in $1 billion. Like, we just know that. Like, they have a stadium fund. They have all the...
Well, not to mention the overall cost would be a lot less because they're building it on land that they already own.
Well, yeah. I mean, the cost would be the same. They wouldn't have to be charged for the land.
The cost of the stadium, the specific stadium, yes.
Right,
but everything
right.
But around it, right? It's. I mean, they're trying to create a destination, at RFK with all the retail...
They only have so much land there. I mean, they can't do – you remember what Snyder wanted to do out there in Woodbridge and Dumfries. I mean, there's not room for that. Even if they wanted to, there's not room for that at RFK anyway.
I mean, look, bottom line is, if you're right, taxpayers basically are going to have to, you know, come up with a big part of $1 billion price tag for the city to bring the football team back if that's what it would take to get it done. And you're the one that reported that they're $1.7 billion in debt by 2030.
Right. And so I think, you know, what, and so it goes back to your question, can't they figure it out on their own? I'm not sure they can, Kevin. I'm not sure they can figure this out on their own. I think maybe if they could, they would have already. I mean, is it going to be like a taxing district? Is it, they're going to need a new revenue source. They're going to need to figure out a new revenue source to keep the books balanced enough to where they can say, okay, we're not going to go, you know, more than, you know, X amount of debt, which we are required by law to do. You know, city council would have to vote to change the amount of debt we can take on. But even that, the chief financial officer's office told me is not going to happen because it would kill DC's credit rating. So they can't even do that. So they would have to, they're going to have to be very creative about how they're going to finance this. And they won't say how. They won't say how. And I think they want to figure out what the answer is going to be, so they're ready to go if they get the land.
Look, there are times where, you know, you have to bring in true expertise and pay for it to get the right answer, and it ends up saving you in the long run. So I'm sure that's where the city is. Look, the bottom line is, right, correct me if I'm wrong, the path of least resistance is Landover. But it's not what anybody wants. So they're going to have to work really hard. And by the way, the timetable, which, remember you and I talked about this maybe a year ago, that there was hope that season opener 2024, the week of, they could announce a deal where the new stadium would open in 2029 or whatever it was. That is really, that time frame has been pushed way back, right?
Yeah, I think we're looking at 2030. That's if they come to a decision in the next year, which, again, keep in mind, if they don't get the RFK land back this year after all, and I think we said that, back, you know, when we talked about that, because I think it was earlier this year that we had that conversation. And the reason was because it sailed through the House. When that bill sailed through the House, we all thought, oh my gosh, this is finally going to happen. They're finally going to have at least the option to build a stadium or at least to do something with that land. And then the Senate has just mucked it all up. And now we're back into a holding pattern. It's no longer a foregone conclusion. And are they, if they don't get it through this year, are they going to wait another year to try and try again? At what point do you just say this isn't going to happen?
I know. It's true. I mean, who the hell knows if by the time we get to the stadium opener, if Josh Harris will still even own the team. I'm kidding. Of course, we all hope he will. But last question is, when is the next opportunity for the Senate to vote on this?
Oh, I think everybody on Capitol Hill who's involved with this, I mean, they could vote on it now, but nothing's happening because of the election. Everything has stopped.
Right.
So it's after the election. So it's going to be, I've been told, like early December if it happens. It won't happen until early December if it's going to happen at all. Nothing is going to happen until after the election. And then everybody's going to flood back and try and get a whole bunch of stuff done before they all go on recess at the end of the year and the session ends. So that's why the election is kind of mucking this up. Because nobody's doing any work on Capitol Hill right now. It's all about the election.
You know what, Eric? When we have these conversations and the way the time frame, it's, part of me just says, you know what? Let's break ground in Landover and get this thing started. Seriously. Because that is the easiest path to a new stadium, a stadium that they would want with a partner that's willing to work with them and pay for it. And ultimately, they just got to win. Down the road, but I don't know. I want DC. I do want the RFK site.
You're the best. We all want DC. Yeah, you got it, man.
Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well.
Anytime, man. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Yep. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9. Let's shift back to football on the field. The Brandon Ayuk conversation is heating up. There's been a few reports out there. We'll share those with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com, or free and live on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.